Blog Talk Radio. I speak to you now for the fourth time as radio host.
Yes. Here we are. In another exciting and interesting episode
of United Commoners of Spiritual Intelligence.
And here we are, reporting live from Austin, Texas, the Lone Star State, baby. And feels good to be here. We are, we just had Happy Irish Day, or what some refer to as St. Patrick's Day. And yeah, we had a lot of that. Had a few Irish beers, and had a good time, you know. And so I'd like to kick off the show by going more in depth into the inventions of previous generations and how our technology has evolved over the centuries, right? That's been the theme we've been working with. And what makes the huge gap between the years that separates us from people who were living maybe 100, 200 years ago or more? And so we'll be able to explore those topics and technology that is still used today, even though it is not in the common interest to be still used by most people in today's modern world. So the idea, and just want to say, I want to give a shout out to some peeps, some good peeps. I want to give a shout out to my good friend, BFFFFL, Tony Morris. I want to give a shout out to my man Freighter, Mr. Newman, Daniel Newman, Danielle Fabian, going down the list here, Alora Woods. I want to give a shout out because you people are awesome, but also I appreciate the support, the friendship. As you know, I am a student in college, and I don't really make the effort that much, unless I'm, like, not busy at all, to go out and hang out with people. So my hanging out, my social life is pretty much, you know, people I meet day to day, or, you know, who I do hangouts with, who I hang out with online. So I want to give a shout out to those amazing people, and Brother Phosphorus and Mark Taylor. Yeah. So, and give a shout out to my friend Summer. Summer is pretty cool, and so yeah, it's pretty crazy. Some stuff has been going on. We've been hearing of bombings going off in our own city, and it's pretty crazy, you know. This is Austin, not Gotham. I don't understand, you know. I mean, we are pretty, you know, I mean, there's craziness, I guess, you know, in every state, but, you know, I mean, we are a pretty friendly and open-minded city, so I don't see why people would have problems with, you know, making bombings going off. And but anyways, so here we are. And I'd like to touch upon, so we touched upon, you know, where we got the cell phone from. And we know about the cell phone and how, you know, it started with the Dynatac and those brick phones and even the walkie-talkie and stuff like that. And I think it's important to just consider the amount of timing that went into something like that. You know, the amount of effort, the amount of energy put into craft these inventions that we use
today, whether, you know, it's the television, the radio, the computer, the internet, you know, this all took timing and energy and effort and people working on it and people thinking outside of the box. Divergent thinkers, creativity, divergent, creative, diligent into creating what we have. Oh, it's 11-11. And so there was a lot that went into these inventions. So I think it's just important to consider the timing that it took. And we'll talk a little bit how these different things have advanced at that time, but it is really interesting, you know, how we go from riding horses. Well, I mean, I guess we go back far enough. And some people do still ride camels, but that's usually, you know, in Egypt, you know, Middle Eastern countries, Egypt, different countries, you know, they still ride camels. But, you know, it went from the horse to the wagon to these different ways of modes of transportation to the train, to the automobile. I mean, it's just amazing how we advance. And a lot of that is due to our understanding of science, logic, you know, the Enlightenment, the Enlightenment age, you know, and Franklin and stuff like that. And then also the industrial age, you know, that I think really and it's interesting, you know, when we think back of it, you know, the typewriter is still around, say the typewriter, but most of us use a computer, we use a keyboard, and it makes sense. Why would we want to use something so old, you know, that is frustrating, you know, when you type it? But it is interesting to consider how people typed in those times and how different it was. You know, our form of writing has evolved. Our way of communicating information has evolved and advanced through the years, you know. So, let's get back to this book. I wrote a lot of this in here. Let's see here. The amendments, the Bill of Rights. Where was it at? We had let's see here. It was in media. I called it the media chapter. Where is it at? For just sake in case, the definition of terrorism is premeditated, politically motivated violence perpetrated against non-combatant targets by subnational groups or clandestine agents. So when we're talking about, you know, the bombings and stuff like that, that is the definition of terrorism. So let's go to media. So we touched upon before, experiments with television began in France and France in the early 1900s. By 1940, 23 television stations were operating in the United States. By 1950, 98 stations covered the major population centers of the country, although only 9% of households had television. See, it's important to consider that. And some people just say, you know, it's the boob tube, you know, whatever. But this was a way that people they got their information. You know, it is, I guess you could call it like a stream of consciousness, but it's information. It's, some of it is just commercials, you know, but, you know, there's educational television. And, you know, I mean, you can kind of watch the same things say, online now, but before online, the internet, you had to watch the television. And at the time, you know, with the television, it was only a few stations or channels. And then at nighttime, you know, it would just go into the black and white, you know, kind of like that movie, The Ring, when the girl comes out. So let's go into here. So this goes back even further back. In the early 20th century, In the early 20th century, the major ethnic minorities in America were composed of immigrants from Ireland, Italy, Germany, Poland, and other European countries who came to the United States in waves during the late 1800s and early 1900s. Public opinion and political socialization. So that is just showing you these little pockets of history when certain things were occurring. It says these immigrants entered a nation that had been found by British settlers more than 100 years earlier. They found thousands in a strange land, usually without money and unable to speak the language. Moreover, their religious background was mainly Catholic, Jewish, and differed from that of the predominantly Protestant earlier settlers. Okay. So that's just some interesting information to take into account. Mass media is the means employed in mass communication, traditionally divided into print media and broadcast media. See, that's what we have today. It's mass media. You know, the news, Fox News, the media, mass media. That's what we have. That's what you have when you turn on to certain channels. And if they're biased or they have a political agenda, you have that involved in the mass media. So we go here. Newspapers did not move toward independent ownership in large circulations until the 1830s. Once publishers discovered they could raise revenue through advertising instead of relying on parties, by 1880, 971 daily newspapers and 8,633 weekly newspapers and periodicals were published in the United States. Most larger cities had many newspapers. New York had 29, Philadelphia 24, and San Francisco 21. Competition for readers grew fierce among the big city dailies. Toward the end of the 19th century, imaginative publishers courted readers by entertaining them with photographs, comic strips, sports sections, advice columns, and stories of sex and crime. Chapter 6 on the media. So it's interesting to see this, you know. So that was a form of entertainment, but it was also a way to get information in the newspapers. And newspapers were big, you know, even, you know, before the television, before all that. This was the newspapers. You know, this is how people got their news. And what is news? Information, updates, current events, that type of information being conveyed. So very, very interesting, and important to consider that, because. Yeah. And you already know, you should know about the Constitution if you haven't, you know, the rights you have, the rights that all Americans have, and there's human rights, but the rights that all Americans have.
that is just important information just to know as a commoner. The common individual should know, you know, just, you know, basic information about their, you know, what they, their rights, the Constitution, the foundation of the country was built, built upon. And so we have all that here, right? Very interesting, very important to consider. I'll go a little further into, I really like this book, yeah, the media. Oh, okay. It's funny, I just flipped the book and it went exactly where I was, what I was looking for. All right, so for radio, which I'm talking on, you know, radio. Regularly scheduled continuous radio broadcasting began in 1920 on stations KDKA in Pittsburgh and WWJ in Detroit. Both stations claim to be the first commercial station, and both broadcasts returned of the 1920 election of President Warren G. Harding. The first radio network, the National Broadcasting Company, or NBC, was formed in 1926. Soon, four networks were on the air, transforming radio into a national medium by linking thousands of local stations. Americans were quick to purchase and use this new technology. Millions of Americans heard President Franklin D. Roosevelt deliver his first fireside chat in 1933, because the public could sense reporters' personalities over radio in a way they could not in print. Broadcast journalists quickly became household names. Edward R. Murrow, one of the most famous radio news personalities, broadcast news of the merger of Germany and Austria by shortwave radio from Vienna in 1938, and during World War II gave stirring reports of German air raids on London. Today, there are nearly 15,000 licensed broadcast radio stations. Despite the advent of iTunes, internet radio, and podcasts, 9 out of 10 Americans listen to a traditional AM, FM radio every week. Radio listeners often tune into stations that have news and talk radio formats, and the audience for talk radio continues to grow. The audience of talk radio is more Republican because the majority of talk radio hosts like Rush Limbaugh are conservative. Talk radio shows have been criticized for polarizing politics by publicizing extreme views. You got that right. So this is very interesting, very important to consider. And let's just drop this here on the television. Experiments with television. Oh, okay, all right, I went in there. The first coast-to-coast broadcast came in 1951. It's about the television. President Harry Truman's address to delegates at the Japanese Peace Treaty Conference in San Francisco. That same year, Democratic Senator Estes DeFauver of Tennessee called for television coverage of his committee's investigation into organized crime. For weeks, people with television invited their neighbors to watch underworld crime figures answering questions before the camera. And Kefauver became one of the first politicians to benefit from television coverage. Previously unknown and representing a small state, he won many of the 1952 Democratic presidential primaries and became the Democrats' vice presidential candidate in 1956. Many early anchors of television network news programs came to the medium. So there was a big political influence. And then we got Jon Stewart, The Daily Show, is a picture here. Already famous through their experience on radio, now that the news audience could see the broadcasters as well as hear them, networks built their evening news around an anchorman, choosing to inspire trust in viewers. By 2012, the United States had more than 1,300 commercial and 300 public television stations, and virtually every household, 97%, had a television, and the vast majority had two or more sets. Today, television claims the biggest news audience of all media outside the internet. The three broadcast networks still have large audiences, but millions of viewers have drifted to more opinionated cable networks, especially MSNBC on the left and Fox News on the right. In fact, cable news is becoming a bit of a throwback. More and more, it seems analogous to the early newspapers, which were blatantly political organizations. Research suggests that with viewers today having unprecedented choices, people who are more interested in politics increasingly desire partisan shows, while people who are less interested in politics simply avoid news programming altogether. Moreover, some research indicates that people who watch partisan news become more extreme in their political views. Still, some researchers have disputed citizens' mass migration from traditional media, concluding instead that these newer venues supplement rather than displace print and broadcast sources. Others also contend that viewers of partisan news are already quite partisan themselves, and that the shows they watch do not make them more extreme. So it's just important to consider that. Oh, this is a big paragraph. I won't be able to cover all that, but it goes into the internet. It's important to consider how this has really revolutionized, where we are today, you know, how we got there, and how mass media does play a huge, big part in controlling, in a way, but for showing the mass media that the viewer takes in, you know. So it's important to consider that and to know about these inventions and how we can use them in a way that supports our advancement, you know, as citizens, but also as human beings, and how we can use this technology and understand it and appreciate it, but use it in the way that it was intended for, and use it to it's in the best way it could be used. So thanks so much. I appreciate you for tuning in. This has been United Commoners of Spiritual Intelligence, Alpeter Zane.
vom Himmel fallen.
Ich will kein Engel.